warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in your life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It was during yesterday's broadcast that the Muslim shooter in Boulder killed 10 people. We'll discuss that tomorrow when we have more information. For today, as promised, in a moment we'll hear from Linda, the anthropologist, who became rather angry with us here at BEL. And we are concerned with her, for her, because the New Testament teaches us that God will pour out his vengeance, his wrath, on Linda the anthropologist unless she repents and turns toward him. First, though, about Jordan Peterson's audio that we aired yesterday of him breaking up in tears while considering whether Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. Now, Peterson, the hero to conservatives, he's a non-Christian, yet beloved by so many, a Canadian academic. He was wrestling with Christ's claims, and that understandably brought him to tears. It was so moving that we were struck to stop then and there during the broadcast to pray for him. And his identity crisis: is he going to become a child of God, a follower of Christ, a Christian? That came just as we were midway through our 2021 presentation of Nicer Than God, the warning, the message that you can find at kgov.com/nice. So why did he break down? Well, it's because Christ's life is both beautiful and terrifying, culminating as it did in his brutal death. The battle between good and evil, the victory won for those who trust in him, and it's won because of his victorious resurrection. By the way, Easter Sunday, more appropriately known as Resurrection Day, arrives in 2 weeks on April 4th. If you'll be anywhere near Colorado, I'd like to invite you to attend our Sunday morning service at Denver Bible Church. It's in the Denver metro area, just 2 minutes from I-70 and Kipling. And last thing before we get to the audio from Linda the anthropologist, this week, Lord willing, we'll look at my email dialogue with an atheist who contacted me about a paper he wrote. And while I haven't read the paper, he and I have been emailing back and forth, and apparently he's arguing that the God of the Bible is either evil, or at the very least, the source and the author of sin. And I mentioned yesterday that, of course, that makes no sense if he's talking about the Bible. If he's talking about Calvinism, that makes total sense. I mean, John Calvin makes it clear that God didn't give Adam and Eve permission to sin. He compelled them to sin by decreeing exactly how and when they would sin, what thoughts were in their mind, what actions they would take, and that for every sin that has ever been committed. There are, we know, Calvinists who are saved. But to be a Calvinist, a true Calvinist, you're an intellectual reprobate if you are a true Calvinist, saying that God decreed sin, thereby making God the author of sin, regardless of your denials, it's obvious, and you somehow saying, but God is not responsible. You're an intellectual reprobate. So to Linda the anthropologist, I was talking on the show a while back about the Incas and how they would murder young women, young girls, murder female virgins in their religious ritual. And of course, this is wicked. The Bible teaches us that God condemns the unbeliever. So as Jesus taught us, it's not just your sinful actions, but the Lord actually said, and this is in the Gospels in Matthew, that even your idle words, even your idle words, you'll have to give account of your idle words, let alone your evil words, in the day of judgment, and that by your words you will be condemned. So we are very concerned for Linda.
It's Colorado night. Linda, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Howdy. Doing well.
I was just calling in response to your view on the Incas.
Yes.
And their society.
Yes.
And cannibalism.
Yeah.
I want to know where you get off saying that any society other than ours is not correct and how their practices are not correct.
Linda?
Yes.
You're just totally putting me on, right?
No, I am not. I'm an anthropology student.
Ah.
And,
all right, let me ask you something. Do you think it was right for the Incas to take a 12-year-old girl and kill her?
Who are we to judge if they were right or wrong?
Stop the tape. I can hardly take it, even after all these years. We released this video clip. It's real brief. It's about 5 minutes on our YouTube channel. And I got an email from a guy, let's see, where's he from? Maryland, initial CP. He said, Bob, I vividly recall when Linda phoned into the show. Imagine that in the 1990s. And it is stunning to hear the lies taught about the scriptures and about God that you could hear from the pulpit. Don't judge is undoubtedly a lie that will send millions of people to hell, as they've heard it even from Christians. Don't take Jesus out of context. Don't quote mine the Lord. He said, don't judge in Matthew 7. Don't judge, you hypocrite. First, stop committing the same sin, and then you could see clearly enough to judge your neighbor. So even though it's painful, I would like to, I'm asking my producer now, could you rewind that? Let's hear Linda from that beginning right there.
It's Colorado night. Linda, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Howdy. Doing well.
I was just calling in response to your view on the Incas.
Yes.
And their society.
Yes.
And cannibalism.
Yeah.
I want to know where you get off saying that any society other than ours is not correct and how their practices are not correct.
Linda?
Yes.
You're just totally putting me on, right?
No, I am not. I'm an anthropology student.
Ah.
And,
all right, let me ask you something. Do you think it was right for the Incas to take a 12-year-old girl and kill her?
Who are we to judge if they were right or wrong?
We are beings with brains in our heads. All right, let me ask you something.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
How do you live in a world?
Obviously, Linda, obviously that's correct. But you should speak for yourself. Linda, if Canada decided to kill 12-year-old girls, like if you couldn't pay your taxes, they were going to kill your oldest daughter. If Canada decided to do that, wouldn't you speak out in defense of women's rights that this is wrong for them to do that?
Of course, I would have my own view on it.
No, I'm not saying that. Wouldn't you speak out, Linda? No, I'm going to stop you on that. I didn't say would you have your own view. I said, wouldn't you speak out in defense of the girls who are being killed? How about Muslim countries?
That has no bearing on what is being discussed right now.
It does too. It's another culture, Linda.
The point that I would like to make,
Linda, I'm not going to let
you,
Linda. Linda, you're on hold. Now I'm bringing you right back, Linda. You can make that point only if you fully answer this one, all right? The women in Muslim countries, have you heard of female circumcision?
Yes.
And how brutal and cruel it is?
Yes.
All right? And how every feminist leader in the country has spoken out against it because it's wrong and it's sick.
Yes.
Now, isn't it good to stand up for women's rights in other countries?
Do you know where the circumcision originated from?
I don't care. I don't care.
You have to care.
Linda, how can you expect anyone
to tolerate you and your beliefs?
All right, I'll give you the question in a third way. 100,000 women went to China to fight for women's rights and equality throughout the world.
Yes.
Were they wrong for doing that?
Not at all.
What do you mean?
Let me tell you.
Hey, Linda, in some cultures say women shouldn't have equal rights. So who
Linda,
who are you to tell Iraq that they need to give women equal rights? Who are you to say that?
No one is to say.
Well, Linda, that's how stupid you are.
Have you ever talked to these Muslim women?
Linda, do you have a brain cell between your ears? You just told me.
Well, if you would let me get a word in
edgewise, Linda, are you
an anthropologist? Have you ever studied anthropology? Have you ever studied any society but your own? If you expect to be tolerated, you have got to do some tolerating, sir.
Linda, yes? I'm not going to tolerate anywhere in the world, to the extent that I have influence, if anyone is going
then
to harm...
You are very, very narrow-minded not to respect anyone else's belief.
Linda, if anyone, and I never said that, by the way, if anyone
That's what you come across as.
Well, you're wrong. You're not thinking well tonight.
Okay, whatever.
If anyone is going to hurt an innocent child anywhere in the world, I am going to have zero tolerance for child molesters. I don't care if it's part of their sick culture. Linda, can't you agree with me that any culture that would rape and kill a 12-year-old girl has something wrong with it?
Do we know that she was raped?
No, I'm asking you a hypothetical. If a country, okay, she wasn't raped, I'll leave that out. Any culture that would kill an innocent girl for a ritual, don't we know there's something wrong with that? Isn't
it
wrong?
What? That was part of their belief system.
So how about Jeffrey Dahmer? Linda, Jeffrey Dahmer's belief system was to rape and eat and kill homosexuals. He was a homosexual himself. So who are you?
Was it part of their infrastructural religious belief system?
Who are you to tell Jeffrey Dahmer that he's wrong? How can you do that? He has his own culture. Don't we have different cultures within this country?
That's right. That's exactly right.
So Jeffrey Dahmer's culture was to go stalk other homos and eat them. Now, the whole country said he was wrong. Right? Was he wrong?
That is one single person. That is not the entire culture of America.
I just want to know from you if he was wrong. Was Jeffrey Dahmer wrong?
That is a personal belief. That is not.
No, Linda. It's not a hard question.
No, the question here, sir, is that you need to look at the Incas and any other culture without bias.
Linda, if you can't...
Not stereotype the beliefs of another culture, the religions of another culture, without knowing them intimately.
Linda, if you are going to justify killing an innocent 12-year-old girl for any reason, you're a fool. And your education has turned you into...
You're the only fool
into
here.
...into a moral misfit. Killing 12-year-old girls, and Linda will defend it. We'll be right back.
Wow, God says that she will be condemned. God says that. He says every tongue. So let's think of Linda as a tongue, right? Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, if you are affirming God and God's word, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. The Lord said that through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54. In fact, Christians enjoy quoting the first part of that verse, but most would never quote the second part because it makes them uncomfortable. The first part is this: no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That is beautiful, isn't it? That's just the best. Thank you, Lord. If you are standing with the Lord, then no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't matter if it comes from the progressives or the communists or the socialists or the homos or the atheists, the evolutionists. It doesn't matter. They cannot have the victory over you, because if you trust in the Lord, you're already more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. So no weapon formed against you shall prosper, Christians cheer, put that on a plaque. But the rest of the verse, thus says the Lord, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. We condemn Linda, the anthropologist, the anthropology student. She probably graduated by now. It's 20 years later. But you never know. She might still be in grad school. Jesus taught that human beings will condemn the wicked. Remember that in the Gospels, Matthew 12? I think I was mentioning from Matthew 12 just a few minutes ago when Jesus said, every idle word that men may speak, they will have to give account for on the day of judgment, right? And that by your words, you'll be condemned. Isn't that something? So the Lord, in the same chapter, he says, the men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. So even the wicked people of Nineveh, or perhaps those in the outskirts who somewhere along the line in the history of that city who may have trusted in God, perhaps, but on judgment day, they, those human beings, will condemn those who rejected Jesus Christ when he was preaching in Galilee and speaking in Judah. And this vengeance, speaking of vengeance, the saints in heaven, right here on earth, we still have our flesh, but the saints in heaven, they no longer have even a shred of false religiosity. The saints in heaven will seek vengeance. Of course, vengeance is good, right? We covered this at Denver Bible Church yesterday. We happen to be in Romans chapter 12. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, it's true, we ourselves, we're not to exact vengeance on our enemies, but as Paul wrote, but rather give place to wrath. And where is that place? That place is with the governing authorities, for the governing authorities are to be a terror to evil, Paul wrote to the Romans. For the governing authority does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. In fact, this is described, this concept of the death penalty, it's described as, quote, the patience and faith of the saints. Yeah, in heaven, quote, the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God, they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Isn't that something? And how long? Of course, there's time in heaven. The entire book of Revelation constantly contradicts the idea that there's no time in heaven. What an absurd, pagan, unbiblical idea. But once that vengeance is complete in the judgment, an angel will say, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her, on the wicked, on mystery Babylon in Revelation. Remember that Jesus said, for God so loved the world. So beautiful. Two verses later, though, he added, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That's John 3:18. By today's church standard, no unbeliever would know that he's condemned, because most believers will not communicate this vital truth. John 3:16 is nice. John 3:18 is not nice. Remember the bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, how about WDJD, what did Jesus do? You know, here on this radio program, some people say that we're rude when we're trying to reach unbelievers with the gospel. Jesus was rude. We're not Jesus here. I'm not Jesus. I am his creation, and he is my Savior. He was a person. In fact, we're a radio talk show. But the Apostle Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. And guess what? He was rude too. Jesus is an example, as are the prophets and the apostles. The Lord was asked a question that goes to the very heart of his ministry. And again, this is Nicer Than God online. You could read an article. We have a seminar on this, kgov.com/nice. Jesus was asked a question, who gave you this authority? Within the answer to that question lies eternal life. Yet Christ was not inclined to answer. How's that? Rather, he asked them a question, which they failed to answer. This all plays out in Matthew chapter 21. So you know what he said to them? He said, well, then I'm not going to answer your question. How's that? So they ask him, where do you get your authority from? And his answer, if they trust in his answer, they can be saved. But he says, instead of answering, he says, let me ask you a question. And we're not getting into that right now, but he asked them a question. They don't answer. So he says, well, you know what? I'm not going to answer you. Ha, what do you think of that? When people misunderstood Jesus, he often made no effort to explain himself. Quite to the contrary, he often purposely let his hearers misconstrue his words. If you doubt that, check out John chapter 2, start in verse 18. Jesus let people walk away in unbelief without running after them. God's word does not record him as saying, oh, I'm sorry, did you misunderstand me? Instead, he is the stumbling block. And if men want to stumble, he let them. For those who want to hang themselves, he invites them. He invites them. Revelation 22:11. Jesus made the rope available. He is that rope. Romans 9:33. Now, that verse doesn't use rope. That's yet another analogy, but it talks about Jesus as the rock of offense and the stumbling stone. And our article, Nicer Than God, it says that Jesus invited them to hang themselves, right? In that Revelation 22:11, what we read there, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is filthy, like Edward, let him be filthy still. So God has sacrificed his entire life, his son, to save us. But he doesn't set himself up to be mocked by unbelievers. What does the Bible say in the Psalms that the wicked plots against the just? And the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. And that passage goes on to say that the little bit that a righteous man may have is better than the riches of many wicked. Remember that? In fact, we did a show just recently. We mentioned at kgov.com/wealth, we have this online worksheet that you can see who has greater net worth, a billionaire's family or a typical homeschool family. And so the Lord pointing out in, where is that? It's in the Psalms. Oh yeah, here we go. The Lord pointing out, yeah, the wicked plots against the just, and the Lord laughs at him. And then a couple verses after that, the little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. It's astounding. If you're a typical homeschool family, Christian homeschool family, you have far more wealth than Bill Gates, far more wealth than Jeff Bezos, than Warren Buffett, far more wealth. In fact, you can't hardly compare the two. So Jesus was a man, not a girl. Christianity today has been emasculated. Men and women are different, and they communicate differently. Women are softer and nicer than men. And thank God that they are. He made them that way. However, men are not supposed to be women. Today, pastors are expected to behave like women. And that foolishness is a death sentence for many unbelievers, especially manly men who haven't come to Christ. Isaiah described adults who act like children. This is in Isaiah 30. They say to the prophets, "Give us no more of what is right. Instead, tell us pleasant things, nice things, nicer than God things." Strength, confidence, conviction, and tough love, they appeal to those who are searching. Jesus lifted up, gruesomely killed, draws all men to himself like a beacon for the real seekers who are willing to humble themselves. But those wanting to stay lost, Christ is like a street sign that has been reversed by a troublemaker. The article ends, "Today, we are way nicer than God. It is tragic. This spiritual plateau that the church has reached conveniently reduces the chance for confrontation. Nice people rarely rebuke, judge, confront, accuse, or condemn. Nice people have less stress. It seems the only ones that Christians are quick to judge and condemn are fellow believers who judge and condemn the wicked." Go figure, Bob Enyart, pastor, Denver Bible Church. So this Nicer Than God study, the seminar, again, I believe we recorded it at the Brown Palace. A wonderful day that was. A great group. We had lunch together. The Brown Palace, this iconic hotel in downtown Denver, it's been there for well over a century. And we've had quite a few of our events, my debate with James White in front of a live audience of 100 folk. That was held also at the Brown Palace. And by the way, that debate, you could get it from us on Blu-ray or DVD or see it on YouTube. Some people get it to make it easy to share to someone. You just hand it to them. But I want to mention, along with Nicer Than God, we have other related resources. They are called All Sins Are Not Equal. What a Bible quiz we have on that page. In fact, just this last week, a small group leader at a nearby large church was presenting this to his small group, that all sins are not equal, and one gal got angry, and she was resentful that anyone who would say this. So after the meeting, the small group leader sent her a link, just kgov.com/equal. She calls him back a couple days later and says, and then said to the group, "I want to apologize. I was wrong. Jesus says all sins are not equal. The Bible says all sins are not equal." That was so encouraging to hear. We have another resource, Warning Against Automatic Forgiveness, which is deadly. Also, an article, Should Christians Judge? And then No Longer a Justice System. Wow, that's so fascinating. On God's criminal justice system. And today, it's no longer just a system. Now it's just a system. And then finally, a brand new resource we're adding to our store, Penal Substitution and the Theories of the Atonement. Now, it's true that nice people reject penal substitution. When Christians are nicer than God, penal substitution, that biblical presentation of why Jesus died, what was happening on the cross, when he was scourged for us, in those hours he spent being nailed to the cross, crucified, dying for us, what was happening at that time, it's too harsh, it's too ugly for a nicer than God Christian to accept. So nicer than God Christians, they reject even God's commands to judge. They claim all sins are equal. They think you have to forgive everyone when Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So when nicer than God Christians reject penal substitution, what happened on the cross? It's not especially relevant because, again, they can't even handle the milk. They're lactose intolerant. May God bless you.